I didn't have time beforehand to really look at everything you did, but I think you did a really good job of taking, I think you did the Jonathan coaching Suzanne one.
Susan.
Yeah. So one of the things that Dana asked was about how do you take, it was overwhelming how much information there is. When you've got a transcript, and I'm trying over time to get all of them with transcripts, and one of the reasons I could just go and get all of them with transcripts right now. The thing I have in my mind is I want to listen to each one as I do the transcript because I don't know that the transcript is accurate, but I've let go of that. I just keep every few days I do another transcript and I go, I'll have to come back and listen to them because I'm not prioritizing that. What you can do when you've got a transcript though is just take one thing, the first thing the coach says, and notice where you could stick that, where could you paste that in the market, go, okay, that's an example of asking a question about the coaching agreement. It's also a clear, direct, succinct question. I could put that under powerful questioning, concise or direct communication being concise. So you could take, that's one practice you could do is take one and then see where you could paste it. And if you want to paste it 20 times or 10 times, just for the practice, a few times doing that. And take the next thing the coach said. You go, oh, that example of an open-ended discovery question. It's about the who, so that could also be coaching presence number one and active listening number one, and it could be powerful questioning number two. So it's just take one thing at a time and do that. And after a while, what I say is you go, okay, I know that skill now, how to identify that marker. And it's clear that the coach has got a handle on that as well. So now I may pay attention to some of the others. I go, oh, I don't have anything for this marker. Now I might notice, oh, is there anything? So as I continue going through the transcript, I might then start doing that. So I listen. I'm at a different place where you guys are because I do listen to so many a week. But that's the process I would recommend.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, I think that is had been my way into it a little bit, but it's helpful to hear you say that. Because what I did is I just took anything that sort of jumped out at me as good evidence of some of the competencies and the markers under that. And then I did start pasting. And what I did is I listened to the recording first, and it was really interesting to listen to the recording and then read the transcript to see what stuck with you differently in each. So thank you. That was helpful. I did get overwhelmed at some point when I was finding all these like pieces of evidence and like, oh my God, where does that go? And it was like on and on and on. But I hear you saying, I think it'll get less overwhelming as I do that practice of finding something that seems like good evidence and then figuring out where it might go, asking those questions and pasting in different places it goes. I think it'll come easier because it just felt really sort of cumbersome, like, oh my God, I was searching constantly. Like, I know this goes with one of these markers, but I had to keep reading and reading because I don't know them. Right. But that's helpful to know that's the way in.
Yeah, and know that it's for you anyway, for your learning. I don't really mind how much you put in those worksheets. It really doesn't. It's more, are you getting an idea that that's a well-structured question based on what the client is saying? And can you identify that as also good listening? Or that's a what question. So you go, okay, that I know that versus that one was a more about the person, their inner thought process. So that's really the purpose, is to help you expand your awareness around the skills. And once you get it, you go, oh, okay, I'll focus more on direct communication. Let me see what I can find around direct communication or whatever. You can choose to even just pay attention to a competency if you like.
That's helpful too. I did notice there were big blocks that I didn't fill out. And so it was helpful to notice like, whoa, why do I have a trouble hearing that? Or wasn't it there? Is it me? Is it what was it? So that was helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And what else? Anything that I could help you with, Dana?
I think the other thing and I think it'll happen as I read what you send me back with the CCWs, when I see yours in particular, is sometimes I thought, okay, this is a really good example, but I didn't, when I put it in the marker, I was like, I don't know if that's really the intention of that marker. That might be the, so getting the real intent of the different markers. That's another thing I'm trying to get better at. So I am curious to understand. There were at least three that I can think of. I don't remember the exact examples, but I was like, ooh, is that really the intent of that marker? So.
Yeah. And if you want to ask specific questions about that, put it at the bottom of the CCW and ask me specifically what you are, you know, contemplating, pondering, wrestling with, that's fine. And if I put every piece of evidence in every mark, you know, everywhere, it would be 27 pages long.
Yeah.
I had one coach who decided to do that. He would do that because he was PCC Marcus trained as well, and literally every CCW he sent was 27 pages. And said to him, you know, I can't process this. He goes, I know, but it's not, he didn't say it like this exactly, it's not for you. I'm having fun practicing every single time. Where does it go? And I'm going, oh, wow. And it literally was 26 pages each time he would send one.
That's funny.
So that's what I'm doing. But if I don't put something in there, it's because I don't feel I didn't hear anything, there wasn't enough evidence. Oftentimes if it's like, did the coach speak more than the client? Well, that's just a yes or a no.
Yeah.
Did the client ask open-ended questions? Well, I will tend to go the exception rather than the rule. So if they're all open-ended questions, they're going to be under markers 1, 2, and 3 for powerful questioning, for instance, or 4. And I'll put leading or whatever, because I'll make a note of the exceptions, because the majority of them are open. Then I'll just notice where was there a closed or a leading, rather than noting every single one again of the open-ended questions.
Okay. So I want to ask a quick question about that, because I did wonder. With Jonathan, I thought for the most part he did this really, really great job. Like, I can't even remember the instance, but let's say he didn't stack questions most of the time. But then maybe in places he did stack questions. So that's what it's like, my goodness, he did, 49 minutes of not doing it and did it like maybe once or twice. So I didn't even pay attention to it. Tell me again how you would handle that if you were trying to help Jonathan.
Yeah, I would put under powerful questioning or direct communication. So powerful questioning marker 5 is about ask one question at a time at a pace that allows for thinking and reflection by the client. I might put yes or give just such as and give one example, but then I might put occasionally or at times stacked questions.
Okay.
And a couple of examples. I'll make those notes as I go, but then I'll make a decision at the end whether that's something that I feel is the most important feedback to give.
Good point. Okay.
Or not. But I'll make a note of it as I go. Or I might put that under clear and concise for direct communication. Because if the coach is mostly clear and concise, but every now and again there's more verbosity, and it's especially if it's confusing to the client listening. I'll make a note of the time or copy and paste that in there. But again, whether that's the majority or just an exception, I don't know until I've listened to the whole thing.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, good questions. Anything else?
That was all. That was really helpful. You answered my questions. So thank you.
Well, the reason I've left the recording on, because clearly it could be very useful for others, so I will let them know when I send this out that this last bit was talking about how to write up at CCW some distinctions. Yeah. Aline?
Yeah, I just wanted to, so what I'm getting a confirmation for, I was listening to one of the MCC recordings, and I've gone through it a couple of times, and a couple of the main things that I would expect to be in there for an MCC competent, I didn't hear. So what I might just do in the comments is, you know, I didn't hear these things, you know, I'm assuming that this was an MCC competent that had to be in there, but I'm not hearing them. So maybe you can maybe give an explanation, or I'll see that when you send it over to me, but maybe give me a little bit more about why that was there when you respond to me or something.
Sure. Yeah. Just put that down in the bottom saying, I didn't hear this core competency at this level being And I would have thought that's needed. So yeah, I'm happy to comment on, put your questions down the bottom.
Okay. I'll do that, because I was just like, I've listened to it about 3 times. I'm like, I'm not hearing it. I'm probably missing it, but I'll just do that instead. So thanks so much.
Yeah. And then the other thing to recognize, which is different for MCC to PCC, the PCC marker system is very different. The marking system, as you know, is different. It's based on a minimum number of markers per competency being demonstrated. You have to have at least, there are 47 markers, you have to have at least half of the markers and at least half of the markers in each core competency. There are some other distinctions, but that's the general rule of thumb. So if there are 48 markers, which there aren't, but 20, you need 24 of those minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's 3, you need at least 2. So for trust and intimacy, there are 3, you need 2 of those. In coaching agreement, you need 2 of those. So that's the system for how the PCC marker assessing happens. For MCC, it is not. It is still like the ACC, it's a scoring system of 0 to 10. And so you have to have a minimum of 8.0 and above to score, to get an MCC. You can have lower, say a 7 in coaching agreement, because it's good, but it's not quite really clarifying the measure of success, really understanding all the client brought and really getting the agreement versus taking the first thing the client might have said, which often happens more at the ACC and PCC level to some degree. But that doesn't mean that the whole thing wouldn't pass. It may be that that competency didn't meet MCC, but their presence is, and their partnering and their ability to craft really great questions and offer intuitions is at a high level, so it's at a 9. And maybe their ability to ask really good questions for designing actions is more at a 7 or a 6. As long as overall it averages an 8.0 or above, it's going to pass MCC. So a very different system.
Right.
Same with ACC. It needs to meet up to a 2.5 to 4.9.
Okay. Well, thanks for all that about how it's graded and stuff like that. I was just really surprised because I wasn't hearing a lot of, offering things and then, allowing the client to respond. And it felt like a great conversation, but when I'm filling in the form, I'm like, wow, that wasn't there. So I really appreciate the insight. And I'll be looking forward to when I finally put it all together to see what you did and maybe get some responses there. So thanks.
Perfect. Happy to.
Great. Okay. Well, that was it. Thanks.
Okay, great.
Thanks for asking the question, Dana.